Ahead and get started. Welcome back, everyone. Today we got a couple of announcements. Forgotten to mention this last class. Last class we were looking through the series Resonant Converter and looked at some LT SPICE simulations. So I've added a couple of files to the schedule page on the course website. One is that LT SPICE simulation that we were looking at, starting at some operating point, but the same one that I used to show all these different state planes. You want an example of the LT SPICE simulation for that. And then the other is a MATLAB script solving the state plane for the SRC. And it just shows a few different ways of solving these state plane equations. In the SRC, as we looked at it, we were able to just derive an analytical solution. So it's a good one to use for comparison. So the MATLAB script shows a direct analytical solution, and then some examples of assuming we didn't know we could get a direct analytical solution, how would we do this with a system of equations? Some, like we've seen in the past, just sweep through, take a guess at I peak and beta and find the ones that match up, and then another one that uses an optimizer to solve it. So it's okay, set up a system of equations, try to find solutions that minimize the error at different points. Okay, so it's just a MATLAB script showing some examples of that. And because we actually know in that phase shift modulated normalized conversion ratio is equal to one SRC that we looked at last time, we can directly solve. We've got a ground truth to compare to make sure all these solutions are valid when we iterate or optimize. And then we haven't explicitly discussed it, but the code also then does this denormalization. So once you want to go back from an arc on the state plane into a time domain waveform, how do you do that? It's just undoing the normalization that you did, but you do need to be careful about adding back in DC when there is a DC solution to the circuit. Make sure you add back in the center of that radius as you convert that arc into a sinusoid. So it's got an example of that. Those are both on the website now. Okay. And then today we're going to have a bit of an interlude here where we go and we cover what is a more simple analysis technique than state plane analysis. It's the sinusoidal analysis. It is simpler and less accurate than full state plane analysis, but can be good under certain approximations and is prevalent in the literature. So we're going to go over it here. This is also called a fundamental harmonic analysis. It's covered in Chapter 19 of Fundamentals of Power Electronic, the Erickson and Maksimovich book, which is not required for this course, recommended. So we won't assume that you've read anything out of there, but there is some supplementary material available there. It's Chapter 19 in the second edition. It's Chapter 22 in the third edition. It just came out. So the idea behind sinusoidal or fundamental harmonic analysis is going to be what it sounds like. We're going to analyze the converter considering only a single frequency sinusoid is sufficient to model all of the waveforms in the converter. Okay, and so it's used heavily in these AC link converters like we've been talking about down here, where we have this structure of from a DC input, convert to AC, you run it through an AC only tank, convert to DC back to the output. You wouldn't use this on something like a buck converter where you don't have those pure AC waveforms in the middle. Okay. So the idea is going to be to represent all of the waveforms in this middle section here where we have pure AC voltages and currents just with a single frequency sinusoid at the switching frequency. Okay. And it's going to be valid under some assumptions. So I'm going to look at, for example, VP of T, this voltage here, assuming that our inverter stage is some kind of full bridge. Everything we talk about will apply if it's a half bridge or any other type of inverter, but the actual equations will be specific to a full bridge. A half bridge, the voltage would be half, and we'd have to take that into account. pain. So we'll look over one period, assuming this thing is modulated as a bipolar full bridge. VP of T just goes between VG and minus VG and has a 50% duty cycle. So if that is my primary voltage, that is kind of what biases the rest of this tank and drives this converter, I can look at, for example, the Fourier series of that, and that's what I've plotted over here. It's the harmonic magnitudes of this voltage VP. And what we should see for some 50% duty cycle square wave is we get a big component at the same frequency at FS, and then smaller and smaller components at all the odd harmonics going out to infinity. Right? So what we're going to do with sinusoidal analysis is say we can model the main behaviors of the converter considering only this component here. Okay. And initially you say, okay, so these harmonic components are of smaller magnitude, so maybe we can neglect them. But that approximation is going to go a little bit further when we have certain types of tanks. If I say, without giving a necessarily full depiction of this topology here, I can look at what the impedance is looking into the tank. That impedance is going to have some dependence on exactly what we're looking at in this network. If we have a transformer, if it's a series resonant converter, if we have any additional passive elements. So it's something to do with the tank structure. And then in most cases, it'll have some dependence on whatever we see here from the rectifier. So we've got a voltage source here at VP, square wave. I'm going to approximate that as a sinusoid, and that's going to have some current flow IP that depends on whatever the impedance downstream is, right? That'll be the tank plus whatever we see when we look into the rectifier. For the SRC that we've looked at, we would have Z tank. This looks like SL plus LL, it's 1 over SCR plus Z rec over N squared. So there's a transformer in there. Keep the tank on the primary side. So let's use this as an example. We have is we've got the series resonant part and then some dependence on whatever the load is doing as seen through the rectifier. Let's ignore that term for the moment, or assume it's quite small. Then the Z tank impedance, what we see right here loading the inverter, would look in our SRC something like this. We wanted to design it with a resonant frequency, quit hitting that button, F naught, kind of in the vicinity but slightly below the switching frequency, so we concluded on the SRC converter. So it looks something like this. F naught is somewhere near FS, slightly lower frequency than it. What does that mean is that when we look at things like IP, this current here, this discrepancy between the magnitude of the fundamental and the magnitude of the harmonics is going to get even higher, right? So we're going to take VP, we're going to divide it by Z tank to find this current, and we're going to have some attenuation of this fundamental component at FS that maybe gets a little bit smaller, but then we have a whole lot more attenuation of the higher harmonics. Of this high frequency inductive type characteristic in the SRC. As we go up in frequency, the impedance is getting higher and higher and the currents will get smaller and smaller. So my FS component will be somewhat sizable, but then my 3FS and my 5FS will be nearly gone. So Sinusoidal analysis says, okay, let's neglect these harmonics. And for all of our waveforms, just consider the fundamental. This can be a good approximation. If the tank has good bandpass characteristics. Meaning, however we design this tank, whether it's a series resonant converter or anything else, designed in such a way that it has much lower attenuation of the fundamental than it does of any of the higher frequency harmonics. So they are going to be way smaller. Then maybe an okay approximation is to say, okay, ignore all these higher frequency components, just stick with the fundamental. And can generally see that looking at the waveforms of the converter, whether they look pretty darn close to a single frequency sinusoid, like in the SRC that we looked at, it was kind of halfway in between a sinusoid and this DAB trapezoidal waveform, but looked like it's a reasonable approximation to model it as just a single frequency sinusoid. Okay. So if we make this approximation, then we're going to be modeling everything as just a fundamental harmonic instead of some big expression for what IP of T is that depends on the switching interval that we're in and everything else. We'll say IP of T approximately just some amplitude times the sinusoid at, say, 2 pi FS plus potentially some phase. Okay. And analysis of the converter will get a lot easier when everything is just sinusoidal at the same frequency. And it's really the reason why we might make this approximation is to make all the analysis easier. Okay. So then that IP we're going to model as something like this. Not a very well drawn sinusoid. We'll say that current is sinusoidal. And by nature of this being a very approximate analysis method, we're going to lose some information. Namely, as we neglected in our last analysis SRC, we're not really going to know whether we achieved ZVS or not. But with those same arguments that we applied to the SRC when we didn't consider the device capacitance in the circuit, we can say, let's just look at the switching times, what is the polarity of the current coming out of the bridge, IP. We can at least get approximately a ZVS possible to obtain, right? So what I want is, at this time, I want IL to be greater than zero. When I switch the primary devices from high to low, IP is greater than zero, it means this current will have a tendency to want to discharge this voltage VP and may be able to give a ZVS. This time, when the voltage is going from low to high, I want the current to be negative, which means it's flowing back into the bridge and has a tendency to want to increase that voltage. Maybe we can get ZVS out of it. Okay. So this transition here, I want IP greater than zero for ZVS. This transition, IP is less than zero for ZVS. On and so forth. Again, we need some minimum magnitude of current in order to be able to ensure ZVS. We won't necessarily be able to derive that from this sinusoidal analysis approximation. We won't get things like in state plane where we could derive the ZVS boundary as a function of the operation of the converter. And we won't be able to say what happens to the waveforms if they do or don't get ZVS, what's actually the impact of them on here. But we can conclude if IP is in the wrong polarity, we're definitely not getting it. 5B is in the correct polarity of these switching instances, we have got a chance, subject to further analysis, to see whether we can actually get ZVS. Okay. So what does this really tell us? We want IP to change color to be in a certain sort of configuration where we can get IP greater than zero at this transition, IP is less than zero at this transition. We really want IP to lag VP for ZVS. So we want there to be some phase shift between whatever the primary is doing, VN, or I guess we already defined it as VIP, this phase shift here. We want some lagging phase shift to this primary side current such that the polarities are in the configuration that'll give us a possibility of ZVS. Does that make sense? If that phase shift was a negative of how I've drawn it, I would shift this sinusoid over in both of these transitions, IP would be in the wrong polarity and we'd be guaranteed not to have ZVS. IP lagging VP, what does that mean? At FS, this impedance we talked about, the tank is inductive. Okay. So you can see that here for our design constraints on the SRC, we wanted FS greater than F naught. That puts us so that at the fundamental, we're on this side of the resonance where we're looking like an inductive asymptote. Means at the fundamental, the load impedance is roughly inductive, and we're going to have some lagging phase that allow us to obtain ZVS. We argued in the SRC the reason why we only want to consider FS greater than F naught, because if we go in the other configuration, we have F less than one, then we end up hard switching. And that can be kind of gleamed here. If F naught is greater than FS, resonance is out here, and we're on the capacitive side of this resonance, means the current is going to lead the voltage and will definitely be hard switching. Make sense? Okay. So that's generally the idea behind sinusoidal analysis. Again, it is a very approximate analysis framework. Give us general characteristics, gonna fall apart at certain points. The thing we did in this is we said, let's assume I can kind of neglect this term and just look at the series resonant characteristic. We'll find that as we change load around, this term can become quite significant, but it can become a large resistance. As we go up to higher output resistance, our SRC will become more damped. Z tank will become something like this. Light load operation, because of this term here, adding in a large resistance, it'll make our Z tank look like a much higher damped series resonance, and then we'll have less attenuation difference between the fundamental and the harmonics, and the sinusoidal analysis won't be so accurate. So that's the general idea behind the analysis framework. Some comments taken from the power electronics book. This shows a comparison between what it calls exact and approximate models of a series resonant converter. This is not the same series resonant converter we looked at. This one has a diode rectifier instead of phase shift modulation with two active pole bridges. But exact in this figure is state plane analysis. And approx is sinusoidal analysis. And it shows three different cases. So this here, these two curves are for a series resonant converter with the load where this equivalent Z tank has a Q of 2. Up here is a Q is 0.5. Here is a Q is equal to 10. So for Q is equal to 10, you really can't even see the two curves. This is plotting F versus conversion ratio, so the main characteristic of the converter. With really high Q, meaning there's a very good band pass characteristic, highly resonant, these two match up pretty well. You can see a little bit of discrepancy down here. As we go down to Q is equal to 2, we definitely see some discrepancy between state plane, which is more correct, doesn't rely on this fundamental harmonic approximation, and sinusoidal analysis for Q is equal to 0.5, they're way off. That would be akin to Q is equal to 0.5, would look like this yellow case here. Q is equal to 10, something more like this green case. That can change with loading and with just design of the system. Okay. So it'll now be really reduced back to the point we made at the bottom here. A good approximation if we have good bandpass characteristics, series resonant converter, that's high Q. Anything else saying we have low impedance of the tank at the switching frequency, high impedance at its harmonics, so that the tank is very frequency selective. We'll see this later as we go through and model it, but the actual Q that we're talking about depends on the tank elements, but also on the loading characteristics, the operating point, and what the rectifier looks like. And again, it neglects all the switching intervals. All we can say is whether the current is in the correct polarity that ZVS is possible, but we can't figure out whether we've actually obtained it without further analysis. Okay, so develop this modeling method. What we're gonna do is we're gonna go through and look at, okay, what is the fundamental of all these different waveforms and how can we go through and model in this way? So we're gonna take our typical AC link structure here. And from its base structure, we've got DC about here, then we use some sort of inverter to generate AC, running through the tank, then rectify right back to DC. We've got these three sections of the converter. Out on the DC sides, the model is just going to average everything. We'll have average models out here. And then through the AC tank, we're going to model everything using only a single frequency sinusoid. So all we need to do is to understand how to translate from typical voltages and currents waveforms that we'll see through this into just their fundamental frequency component. Some notation here, example, Vp of t is our full signal. Then you'll see with this sinusoidal analysis, we call Vp of 1, Vp 1 of t. Fundamental component only. So Vp of t would be the square wave generated by the inverter. Vp1 of t would just be some sinusoid at FS. So let's dive in. We can kind of working left to right, go through and derive just what is the fundamental component of the waveforms in the circuit or some generic converter. So I'll start by just looking at a full bridge voltage source inverter generates this Vp of t is this square wave. And the process will be similar if I have a half bridge or anything else, but the results might be scaled by a factor of 2. TS, TS over 2. So here's my full waveform for VPFT. I want to find what is a sinusoid that models the main characteristics of the square wave. And for that, what I'm going to do is just look at the Fourier series expansion of it and only take the term at FS. Reminder, general equation, Fourier series. Coefficient for odd waveform of the fundamental. Looks like this. And so all we need to do is apply Fourier series to the square wave. And we don't even need to calculate the full series. We just need to calculate the one, the coefficient of the fundamental component at the switching frequency. So for VPFT, this waveform up here, we're going to plug in and calculate what this coefficient is. One is equal to, applying the formula, it says divide by, multiply by 2 over TS. So we're going over a full period, 2 pi, but dividing just by pi. We go from 0 to TS of VP of T. And rather than, since I'm doing things in times instead of radians, with sine of 2 pi FS T dt. Okay. So I'm going to be multiplying VP of T by some conceptual sinusoid at the same frequency. So both of these are purely odd waveforms. So I only need to consider this one coefficient, but also as I multiply the first half of the period by this sinusoid, the second half by the negative of that same section, really both of these get rectified up and I can just integrate over a half period and multiply by 2, right? It's going to be the same in the first half period and the second half period. So now I can say this is equal to 4 over TS times just the integral from 0 to TS over 2. If I'm just integrating from 0 to TS over 2, VP of T is just a constant. It's equal to VG. I'm going to say VG times sine of 2 pi FST dt. And I could pull the VG out front. The integral, and then here I'm going to integrate by substitution. So I'm going to substitute theta is equal to 2 pi FST. D theta is equal to 2 pi FS dt. So plugging that in, I'll have sine of theta d theta. Place the dt, I'm going to get d theta over 2 pi FS. And then I need to replace my limits of integration, going from 0 to TS over 2, plug that in here, that's from 0 to pi. Then pull out this 1 over 2 pi FS, that's all constant with respect to theta. Integral of sine is a negative cosine. Evaluating that from pi down to 0. Minus cosine of pi is 1, right? Cosine of pi is minus 1, minus cosine of pi is 1. Cosine of 0 is 1, so I'm going to get 2 out of this integral, which result will be 4 over TS VG, 1 over 2 pi FS times 2. And then some stuff will cancel out. This 2 will cancel with this 2. TS multiplies FS, it becomes 1. what I get is eventually this coefficient is 4 over pi times VG. The amplitude of this fundamental component, 4 over pi times VG, 4 over pi is about 1.27. So the fundamental component is actually, its amplitude is a little bit taller than the height of this component. So if I want to model this VP of T square wave with a single sinusoid, it looks something like this. So sinusoid sine of 2 pi FST at the switching frequency with an amplitude 4 over pi times VG. VG was the amplitude of this square wave. Okay. So our square wave inverter now becomes some sort of component that produces a sinusoidal voltage at its output. In order to finish analyzing the inverter, we need to know IP. Without looking down at the rest of the converter, I can't say exactly what IP is, but I can conclude, okay, I'm going to model it as some sinusoid with some amplitude and phase. So eventually we'll get IP by saying this sinusoidal voltage, VP1, is applied to the rest of the converter. IP is VP1 divided by whatever impedance I see downstream, this Z tank. For the moment, I'll just say, okay, IP of T, once we do that, I'm gonna model it as a single frequency sinusoid, and it's gonna look like some sinusoid that has some phase shift. Called BN, and some amplitude, capital IP1. It'll be expressible in this form. Okay. What is the amplitude IP1 and what are phi in? That depends on looking down at the tank, but I know once I approximate this IP1 current as a sinusoid, it'll be in this form. So right now I'm really just defining this amplitude and phase as some variables so that I can finish solving out what is the behavior of this inverter. Because the second part that we need, so now we kind of know from the DC voltage source, the output of the full bridge looks like a sinusoidal voltage. It's 4 over pi VG amplitude. To have a complete model of this circuit, we also need to know, okay, then what's the current being drawn out of the voltage source? Okay. And to do that, what is this current IG? Well, in the full bridge, it's just IP, kind of depending on which connection the switches are in, right? If this guy and this guy are on, then IG is equal to IP. The other two are on, then it's the negative of IP. So it'll be rectified here whenever the full bridge switches. And IG would look like, okay, when VP is equal to VG, it means these two are on. So IG is this. When VP is equal to minus VG, it means the other two are on. So IG is this. The sinusoid isn't very clean here. So assume that all of these look like the same half period. In steady state. So this thing here would be IG of T, the input current. it becomes some broken up, rectified version of the primary side current. It's piecewise sinusoidal, single frequency, but we change the sign on it once per switching period. So as we said here, IG of T is out here. It's a DC waveform, so we're just going to average it, find what is the average current drawn from this VG source. To do that, we're going to integrate over the area of full period, this current, divide by 1 over TS to get the average value of it. Since it is periodic and repeats every half period, we can just integrate over this first half period. Okay. Here for input current, what we're going to do is derive what is average value of IG over a switching period. And we're going to pull that from IP1 of T sine 2 pi FST minus VN. This is just a generic definition at the moment. We don't know what IP1 and VN are yet, but we know we'll be able to find them later on, and that IP1 will be in this form in our sinusoidal analysis. Okay. So then our average input current, again, we can just look at a half period. Since this IG of T waveform is symmetric, about a half period is periodic, about TS over 2. And it is just the integral over the positive half period of IP1 of T, dt. So if I look over just this first half period, IG is exactly IP1. So, go ahead and take this integral, 2 over TS, integral from 0 to TS over 2, IP1, sine 2 pi FST minus VN, dt. Again, going to perform a substitution, same one as before. V is the argument, or theta, excuse me, is the argument to the sinusoid, 2 pi FST minus VN. D theta pi fs dt. I'll plug that in. So integral becomes 2 over TS, pull out IP1. The integral of sine theta d theta over 2 pi fs. My substitution. And then I got to plug in for my limits of integration. I plug in T is equal to 0, theta is minus Vn. Plug in T is equal to TS over 2, theta is pi minus Vn. Evaluate this integral. Let's pull up this 1 over 2 pi fs again. Integral of sine is again negative cosine. And we're going to evaluate from minus Vn to pi minus Vn. Okay, minus cosine of pi minus Vn is going to be what? It'll be Vn and then minus cosine of minus Vn. Negative signs all cancel out, get 2 Vn. Get 2 over TS, IP1, 1 over 2 pi FS, times a cosine Vn and a cosine minus Vn, so 2 cosine Vn, an odd symmetry of cosine. Then again, things start canceling out. Cancel this 2 with this 2, this FS with this TS. What I end up with is 2 over pi. capital IP 1 times cosine of phi n. Is the average value of IG over a switching period. Okay. So now we have a complete input-output model of this full bridge. The full bridge has at the input some DC source VG. And then at the output, is loaded by whatever's going on at this VPIP port, which connects to the rest of the circuit. Then in the middle here, where our equivalent model is, we've got some DC current being pulled from VG, which is this average value of IG is 2 over pi IP1, what we just derived on the last slide. And then at the output from the slide before that, what we have is something that looks like an AC voltage source. Has value 4 over pi VG sine of 2 pi FST. Okay. This source is this amplitude and is a sinusoid in time. This current source is just from our averaging of the input current. So this here is our model of the full bridge. And it'd be a little bit different if the topology changes, swap around if we consider a current source inverter instead of a voltage source inverter, but generally this process will work for any different topology of the inverter. Okay, something we can do to check to see if this makes sense, check power balance. So we can look at the power here, VG and IG. Say PG is equal to VG times average value of IG, which we've already derived. So VG times IP1 is 2 over pi cosine phi n, the DC power supplied from our DC source. On the secondary, we'll have some time varying power. It'll look like VP of T times IP of T. Check power balance. What I'm going to look at is the average value of that over one period, which will look like 1 over TS, integral from 0 to TS. Of the product of these two waveforms, VP of T is 4 over pi VG sine, and say omega ST for the 2 pi FS, times IP of T, which we've defined as IP1 sine omega ST minus VN. A DT out there. Okay. This one's going to take a little bit of calculation. Over TS, let's pull out all the constant stuff. 4 over pi VG IP1. Everything. Integral from 0 to TS of the product of these two sinusoids that are at the same frequency but different phase. So use a trig identity, the product of two sinusoids at the same frequency is 1 half times cosine of the sum of the arguments minus cosine of the difference of the arguments. Put that backwards, cosine of the difference of the arguments minus cosine of the sum of the arguments. So 1 half out here, applying this trig identity, the cosine of omega st minus the argument of this term, omega st plus vn minus cosine of the sum of the arguments, omega st plus omega st plus vn. Sine alpha, sine beta, 1/2 cosine alpha minus beta, it's cosine alpha plus beta. This trig identity to get to this point, the integral of this whole thing. And what do I get out of that? Over TS, 4 over pi VG, IP1, comes 1/2, everything out front. And then I've got these two terms integrated over an entire period. Here, minus omega ST plus omega ST cancels out. Yeah. As I defined it, it's kind of hard to see over here, minus Vn. And I'm subtracting that whole argument, I'll put it as plus Vn. But you can see it's not going to matter anyway because cosine of minus Vn is cosine of plus. Oh, there, you're right. That should be. That one's also not going to matter in a moment, but it is incorrect. Okay, so what do we get out of this integral? So these things cancel, and cosine of Vn is just a constant. So the integral of that is going to be Ts times cosine of Vn. Minus whatever we get out of integrating this thing. This is a double frequency cosine. So this is 2 omega st minus Vn. We're integrating over one complete period of the fundamental. There's two complete periods of this double frequency thing, but integrating over two complete periods, we get zero. Integrating over any number of complete periods, we get zero. Minus zero. My eventual result is this. And see, what can we make cancel out? So this TS will cancel with this. We get cosine Vn. It's 1/2. Have this 1/2 cancel with part of that 4. We'll get 2 over pi VG IP1 cosine Vn, which is same thing as the input. So we have power balance in these systems. These two independent sources are linked such that the average power consumed by this current source here shows up in this voltage source here. This is a model, potentially, of kind of average behavior of this inverter. Zero power consumed by it or produced by it, just passes power through, converting it from DC into AC, which is what the inverter should do. Okay, so there we'll go on and talk about the diode rectifier, do the same thing, model it as DC waveforms at the output, single frequency sinusoids at the input. That will have both sides of this. Everything's AC in the middle. We can just use typical frequency domain analysis through the tank where everything's AC. We can get frequency response of the tank, analyze everything there. So we'll pick up with that on Monday. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you then.